What's the nourishment for our mind? What's the proper nourishment for our body and for our spirit? And of course, I know that we're all different. Different languages, you know, and I think we got so much commonality, though, as indigenous people. Because we all coexisted on Turtle Island and traded with one another. Traded flint, food, deer hides, dried salmon, you know. And I tell people that Indigenous way was a life of relationship building. Because we'd have giveaways in our communities. Our families would have a feast to honor a young boy that became a man or a young girl became a woman, what they call the puberty ceremony. And that ceremony was done. They'd have a feast and they'd announce, now we have a man in our midst. And they'd introduce it. Young boy that became a man. And then they would feed everyone after it's all done. And they would feast and give away gifts to all the ones that come to witness the work that that family had done in regards to the puberty rite. That's a life of inclusivity and relationship building. And it worked for us. I know it worked for us, and it brought harmony and serenity to the minds of the people. There's nothing better than feeling that somebody's got my back. I'm not alone here. If I need help and I reach out, it's going to be there. That's part of the outcome of having a strong mind. Strong body, strong spirit. So that's what the seasons can be about, and I'm looking forward to it. Already I've been talking to knowledge keepers and healers and successful people, and they agree to come on the podcast. You know, the method of the podcast, part of it is storytelling for sure. Where I tell you my story about what I achieved, how I achieved it. And I want others, when they come to the podcast, to share their story. Because that's role modeling for all of the youngsters or the ones that are listening. Because I interview people with positive outcomes. Positive methods that they use to help their own life or to help other people. And also traditional stories like coyote stories or raven stories or stories about the hummingbird or about how we got to have mosquitoes, all of those stories. I just love storytelling and also listening to others tell stories, traditional stories. Because there's a lesson in all of those stories. There's a teaching. And also, you know, I want to have panel discussions and we'd have four or five people together on a panel. Like I've had those. Like this season, I will again be having panelists talking around diabetes. You know, to share with people how to fight diabetes in their body, how to extend their life and live a good life, even though they got type 1 or type 2 diabetes. Because we have so many with diabetes, this is an important podcast. They're all important, but this one, you know, I've recently lost relatives to complications because of diabetes, and it hurts. And I wonder how much of it is preventable. And I think parts of it are preventable if we can encourage people to eat right and exercise and take their meds. That's why I'm going to have panelists on diabetes. And I also want panelists to come in to talk about mental health and addictions. Because the opioid crisis is real. We're losing people. How do we help them? What can we do? That's the questions we must ask. And come to conclusions of how I'm going to support my loved one that's suffering from addiction. To find proper way to do that. This is a really tough, complicated, you know, to help someone that's going downhill and doesn't want to seem to listen to you. I know how tough that is. I imagine that's how people felt about Jerry when I was addicted. Easy to give up on me. And I don't blame my relatives or friends that gave up on me. Because I've had the same feeling with some of my relatives and friends that have become addicted. The strength of the ones that didn't give up on me. I celebrate them today, and I want to be like them. And it's hard, you know, to have someone look at you and say, yeah, I'm going to quit, and then the next day they're out doing their addiction. So it's a tough one. So I want to have a panel of people that work in this field or people that have been addicted and beat their addiction. You know, so to give ideas to people and give hope to people that we can beat this. That it's a man-made problem, therefore we can beat it. I come to that conclusion, I don't know if it was 1993, and I was working for a community, and it just seemed so hopeless. And a thought came to me in my depression at that time was that, Jerry, everything that we're dealing with here is man-made, therefore we can fix it. So I used that as a mantra for a while. It's man-made, therefore we can fix it. And I believe that today. So in panels and interviews with knowledge keepers, with practitioners, with people that have been healed or gone through healing, for them to share their story. So we can share it with our children, with our relatives, so it might help them. One of my teachers said, Jerry, it's dangerous not to listen. So when there's someone teaching you, you listen with everything you got because you might miss something that could save a life if you don't listen. That was a good teaching for me. They're teaching about, listen, Jerry, the elder or the teacher in the room, they're laying teachings at your feet. It's up to you to watch and listen and then to pick up those teachings and to use them and to share them with other people. So that was what I want with the panel discussions or the interviews. To inspire, motivate, promote cultural methodologies, that they're beautiful, they're strong, and they work. And also to accept, you know, the new methodologies like massage therapy, Reiki, you know, and other things like EMDR, you know, to deal with trauma. Because they work too. I've used them. And also, you know, one of the things I was thinking of is maybe for some that don't mind was to have a virtual sharing circle. And recorded as a podcast. That's like a panel discussion. But it'd be more about our own personal experiences in life. Well, the panels and the virtual sharing circles with knowledge keepers, practitioners, you know, people that know. It reminds me of my elder. Where I got the name, Teachings and Years, not my name, but the name of the podcast. That everything we know comes through the air. That's what he told me. Everything you know, Jerry, comes through the air, so you watch and listen. And you can go out and you can find it in nature, a song, a ceremony, if you go out and you meditate and you do what our people have done, use their ceremonies and their rituals to find answers. You know, the guests on the podcast, I like people come in to share not the nitty-gritty secrets of their way of life or their culture, but just to share the beauty of their culture and how they appreciate it. For example, name giving or puberty rites. You know, to share the meaning of the, you know, the afterbirth ceremony. You know, things that were in the air that everybody knew, that we revive those. I'd like to have people come in and teachings in the air, the artists, the ones that capture the beauty in a piece of wood or on a paper or metal or, you know, and how they bring that expression out of beauty, symmetry. You know, and I think of our artists and the beautiful work they do. I have drums with beautiful art in it. So it doesn't even, it also sounds good, but it looks good. And it has a message. And it's our artists that capture that. When I look at the picture graphs on the cliffs, on the rocks, you know, these, on red ochre, and they're beautiful. I seen a little documentary about Picasso and drawing two or three lines in it, and people could see what it is. We had lots of Picassos, too, doing the rock art, you know, and our artists of the day, too. So I want some artists come on to teachings in the air and talk about their craft and how they got to do it and their, what it's done for them. Because I've been touched by a lot of indigenous art, what we can call art. It's actually indigenous beauty, created beauty. And I'd also like to talk to people into traditional music, you know, drums and rattles and ceremonial music, social music, the way it used to be and the way it is today. Powwow, it's a big social gathering, you know, they're doing those dances and that music, you know. I'd like to share with people. People come in to share the meaning of that for them and what it does, what it's done for them and their family. Then, you know, those are the people that are hooked to our culture and our traditions. You know, and we have, when I think about it, all the ones I met, we have a lot of them, actually. People that still build sweat lodges, that still do name-giving, memorial ceremonies, and coming of age. You know, we're all adapting, we're all adjusting, and we're all doing what we can. So I think the time has come that we step it up. We do more of this, more consistently. Because when we work together as a family to do a ceremony, we become one. Because it... To have a successful ceremony, you must have a group of people working together. Because when you invite people and if 300 people show up, they need to be fed, they need, everything needs to go so just so. And I've seen it happen, it's still happening. So we can share that and understand those things and how they work. I shouldn't call them things, they're protocols. Protocols actually referring to glue that holds things together. The ceremony protocols held us together as a people for thousands of years. This is how we do it. You don't take shortcuts. You always be respectful, be generous, be kind. Do it properly. Protocols. You know, and I know there's a lot that people cannot share. But the ones that can share and what can be shared, I appreciate it. They come on and they share. Don't have to share the secrets, family secrets. Maybe just outcomes, not about the details, how it's done, but the outcome, for instance, in puberty rites. Or the different purification ceremonies, because there are many purification ceremonies. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, there's our ones today. I was talking to these ones that were in the university. Indigenous students. And I said, it's like when we get in trouble in the past, a group or an individual from a family would go out and fast or go out and meditate in the mountains or the forest or the water to find a solution for the people for a specific problem. It's Vision Quest. They call it, one of the names they give it is Vision Quest. So I say to these students that you're like the new age Vision Quest. You leave your community for 4 years to get a gift, to be a doctor or a nurse or a practitioner, and go home to share that with the people. So it's a sacrifice to leave your home, your community, to get the knowledge. So that's why I started using that term, New Age Vision Quest. So I'd like to get, and I have two doctors that are going to come on to share about their journey in the field of medicine. I want to get nurses, midwives, teachers, educators, counselors and therapists, you know, the ones that work with the body, you know, that we have massage therapists and Reiki practitioners. And when I look up my LinkedIn, you know, and I look at different platforms, I see we have a lot of trained people out there. I get proud of that because I get trapped in just seeing the negative, seeing a colonial state or colonization. But then when I see all those people that got education and that got businesses that are building things, that are inventing things, doing music, holy cow, I get proud of them. And it reminds me of one of the things, conclusions I have about our people. And this is just Jerry talking. I got no systemic review or anything to back it up. It's my observation. That 75% of our people are okay. In the sense that they can work, they're all right, or they might be stressed out or whatever, but they're still functionable. They still put food on the table, put a roof over the head, you know, and raise children. And 25% of our people are just suffering. Never got the healing, you know, never had the support. Isolate themselves. Isolate means to become an island. They don't reach out for help. They don't accept help when it's offered. They just go. They become homeless and addicted in the cities and towns, or even in our own communities. They're pilp, they're lost. You know, so a combination of our cultural ways and these other ways that are European or from across other parts of the world, I've come to understand there's goodness in there too. There's something in there, too, that can help our families or our individuals or our communities. So though that's the season that I'm envisioning, that I'm working on now, around health and wellness for the people. is to invite wonderful guests. For me to continuously read and search and listen for ideas about healing and wellness and to share it with the people. That's what my life is today. And I believe that's a traditional life. That's the way we all were at one time. And also I believe that many are that way now. As having a conversation with people about indigenous-specific racism. I said, one of the things I realized, like when I go home to my own community, I seldom hear people talking about racism there. Where I hear it is in colleges and universities and institutions. Like universities or colleges or hospitals or health authorities, justice. And of course, I said, give my head a slap, and I said, of course, that's where it is, that's where it is. There's no racism in the community because we're segregated and we're there by ourselves. But I'm so proud of the people, they don't make it a big burning issue in their life, in their community. They're simply working to exist there on their reservations, their community, to make a good life as best they can. So when I seen that, when I thought that thought came to me, I said, okay, we're not into the blame game there. In my community, at least, we're not into the blame game. Sure, we do blame the government. You don't fund us enough, you know, in different places, justice, like police, you know. You know, we were frightened of you, you know. We still have those conversations, but it's not like every day. You know, so that's where I am today. Strong mind, strong body, strong spirit. That's what I want for Sahilthit, for Jerry. And I work at it. I slip, you know, COVID, oh my gosh, it's 2 years now and it's still here. Now they're, you know, that virus is changing. I was telling some medical people in the summertime, you know that COVID, that virus, it knows we're hunting it and it wants to live and it wants to survive, so it's going to change. And it is. And I've been having ceremony once a week just around COVID. That there be a cure, that there be a vaccination, that we be safe from this. That doesn't hurt the children or the elders or the people. To take care of the ones that are working day after day to find a cure, to find a protection against COVID. Because once it became pandemic, and pandemic means all the people, pan means all, endemic comes from the word demos. All the people, doesn't matter your color or your religion, all the human beings. Pandemic. So to me, when I hear the words Natsamat or Kwinatsa and Hunkaminam, which means referring to we're all one, we must embrace that we're all one, that we literally all need each other. To make a good life for our children in the future, work together, come to an understanding that it's our responsibility as adults in this world today to work together to protect the future of our children and our children's children. That conflict will not do that. I don't think it ever has successfully. You know, I'm a I love reading about history, and I know that there's been conflict and they'd overthrow a regime. Then years later, I'd see, are they happy? And I see them still struggling. So I think if we can come to that place of working together, that things will start to change. That we need to change, literally. We're in peril, we're threatened as human beings. And as human beings that are causing the problems on planet Earth. So we must find ways, first off, because once my mind becomes strong, my body and my spirit become strong, I can be a positive influence and a positive participant with a group, whether it be my family or my community where I live or the country I live. And that's tough. You know, I mistrust governments, you know, democracy, you know. But I'm part of it. I have to work with it somehow. That's what I'm still figuring out. Where I should participate, when I should participate, how I should participate. Is it my responsibility? I say, yes, it is. Then the hard work of actually doing it. But it can be done. It's been done in the past. So we're going to win my brother's dream that I keep looking at when I feel discouraged or I feel hopeless. And my brother says, I dreamt we won, Jerry, as indigenous people. Good look in our eyes, you know, walk with purpose. We don't slouch, you know, we work hard, we're successful. We look good. And that was his picture of victory. So I follow that dream and say, yes. Sit like an eagle. Don't slouch. Don't drop your head. Walk with purpose. Be respectful, be kind, be indigenous, and share that indigeneity with everyone around you. Then that way, you have a good sleep at night. Food tastes good. You look at the nature outside, and it's beautiful. The trees, the wind and the grass. This summer I seen the wind and the grass. And remind me of that philosopher, I think from Alberta. Asked him, what's the meaning of life? And he says, it's the breath of a buffalo on a winter's day. It's a shadow that runs across the grass. You know. And I thought, that's life. It's what you see in front of you. Don't think about it, you just absorb it. So we come from a beautiful people. I'll remind everyone again, that's where we come from. Let's go back to that and concentrate on strengthening our mind, our body, and our spirit. So I'd just like to thank you for listening to this introductory podcast, and I'm looking forward to my panels, my interviews, and plus I'll come on and I'll talk just like I am now, share what's been going on with Sihilthit, part of my what I've accepted, that I am to teach, motivate, and inspire. So I'd just like to thank you again, and looking forward at some point to seeing you, you know. Bye.